In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us again for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me in the studio this morning is Pastor Jeff Anderson. Pastor Anderson, God bless you. Glad to have you back with us today.
It's great to be back with you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. The last time we were together, we were talking about a very unique ministry that God has given you, and that is to train pastors really around the world in the area of expository preaching and knowing the Word of God in that way, and many times in places that they probably don't even have textbooks that teach them theological truths.
Worse than that, many of them don't even have Bibles. So I got to Africa and began ministering to pastors and soon discovered that many of them didn't have Bibles. I would ask one simple question. If you don't even have a Bible, what do you teach your people?
Yeah.
And some of them would come back with the answer, oh, well, we teach our dreams and visions. And I said, whew, we need to get you a more sure word of prophecy. Let's get you a Bible. So a huge part of our ministry is to distribute Bibles so the pastors can even come back to just reading and explaining and applying the Bible.
So the last time we were talking, you said that money follows vision, as we were talking about raising funds. So you not only have to raise funds for your personal needs, but raising funds to buy Bibles.
Well, for many, many years, because I was a pastor of a local church, I didn't have to raise funds for my own needs. And to be honest with you, it was a lot easier to just raise funds for a project like a Bible conference or a church plant.
Right.
But in those years, we discovered that money follows vision in the sense that when we just tell people what God is doing, they want to be part of that. And here's a simple story. I was invited to share with a local Awana club, minister to a bunch of children at a local church. It wasn't my own church. But I went in and told those kids about these pastors and the sacrifices that they were making, the ministry they had to their own people. And a cute little girl came up to me, maybe 8 years old, and she said, I have $100 at home. That would sponsor five pastors to come to a conference. Can I give my $100?
My goodness.
So I patted that little girl on the head and thanked her for caring so much and for praying. And I said, you go home and talk to your mom and dad, and you guys can decide what you'd like to do with your money.
Right.
Well, the next day we got a check from an Awana leader who said, my heart was so touched by that little girl that I want to give this $800 to help sponsor pastors. When people hear not only the vision of what God is doing, but then they can grab the concept. For us, we were recognizing that it costs $20 to provide all the food, transportation, and lodging for a pastor to come to a conference for 3 days.
$20.
I can't even take my children to McDonald's and buy one meal for that.
Right, exactly.
But when they hear, oh, $20, a pastor could come for a three-day conference.
Yeah, right.
All expenses included. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do that. I could even sponsor five pastors to come.
Right, right.
And so that becomes something tangible where they hear what God is doing, they realize the part that they can have in it, and then people have given very generously for this.
That is awesome. Now, obviously it takes a lot of people to put together things like this. I guess my next question is, let's say we're talking to somebody that doesn't feel the call or the ability to preach. Is there anything they can do to serve God in missions?
Well, certainly there's lots of opportunities for people to use whatever calling or gifting or talent that they have.
Okay.
As I speak about a conference in particular, one of the things that's desperately needed, every time that we gather several thousand pastors together, we need medical services.
Oh.
And so if you would think about nurses or doctors who would be able to come and, number one, care for people who are sick during the conference.
Okay, okay.
But also be able to provide maybe a clinic where they're able to meet with people or meet with pastors who haven't had any kind of medical care. So the pastor comes to the conference, coming to get the word of God and be encouraged, but he can also get some medical care.
Hmm.
That's been one opportunity or need.
Okay.
We've also had some people would come. As an example, all of the pastors that we meet with in Africa are all tent-making pastors. They all have some sort of other job.
Sure.
And one of the men that we brought one time was a welder. And as we're traveling around the community and he sees what's happening in the welding, he thought, man, I'd love to give a welding clinic to a bunch of these guys,
oh,
teach them some welding techniques, maybe even bring them some materials that will help them protect their eyes. but then also give them the gospel. So it's just unlimited, the opportunities of using where God has placed you
right.
to be able to advance the eternal kingdom gospel-centered focus.
That's awesome. Well, you've been doing this now ever since 2004, is that correct, through your local church, and then the last couple of years full-time.
Correct.
What kind of things have you learned about God during this process, maybe of the transition?
Well, one of the things I really appreciate during this transition is, again, the difficulty and the uncertainty that steps out and says, get out of your comfort zone, trust the Lord,
okay.
He will provide and direct.
Right.
And so for me, I've really wrestled with, do I really believe all of these promises of God's provision? There's been times where, Pastor Greg, it's been slow. When you're starting a ministry like this,
sure.
and you're traveling, telling the story, raising funds, there are times I'm wondering, how are we going to pay the bills this month?
Right, right.
And when I'm feeling insecure about that, it's tempting to even come back and question and think, well, maybe I misunderstood God's calling. Maybe I'm not where I'm supposed to be. If I was where God wanted me, then certainly there would be funds flowing in quickly. But then I had to wrestle with that and say, all of these pastors that I meet with, they survive hand to mouth every day. Okay. They always are struggling, and they're having to learn to trust God. So who am I to come and preach to them and tell them to trust God if I'm not willing to enter into some of their experiences?
Very important lesson.
And so for me, it's a matter of trusting God in spite of the circumstances or the appearances of success. To just be confident
right.
that, Lord, you've got me where you want me. You're going to provide. And frankly, there's a contentment that comes with that as well that says, God has provided exactly what I need. Am I willing to be content with a little less security than I've known for the last several years?
Was it Hudson Taylor that said, where God leads, God provides?
That would make sense that it was Hudson Taylor.
Yeah, it sounds like something he would say. But many times, Pastor Jeff, I have learned that God's timing of his provision isn't quite my plan.
Boy.
I call them LMDs, last-minute deliverances.
And those become a real test of faith.
And you can look down through your, for me, 50 years of ministry and be able to say, now this was an LMD that definitely strengthened my faith, and this was an LMD. And even when our boys were at home, we would be together as a family. We'd be praying about something. And we had what we called a journal of gratefulness, where we would pass it around the table, a little diary thing, and everybody would write their blessing that day, what they were grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, we'd pass it around, write another thing, and we'd be able to look back and see what God did the year before on that day. And we were able to rejoice in God's answers to prayer. But many of them were last-minute deliverances.
Right. And Pastor Greg, that's the only thing sometimes that keeps you trusting God today, is when you look back and realize how God has faithfully cared for you, directed, provided. That's why the calling for me is so important. When I knew that my time at Grace Bible Church was finished, I really didn't have to confer with flesh and blood. Now, I definitely talked to my wife, talked to my parents, talked to my children, and they all gave affirmation of it. But the one thing that was absolutely necessary is I knew God's calling. And because I knew God's calling, then I could step out even with the uncertainty. And then when I look back and have those days that I do doubt, times when I'm a little bit more uncertain, that's when I can look back and say, yeah, but God has called me. God has placed me here. Now, are you just going to trust him? Are you willing to be content with where God has you today?
All right, now I'm going to ask you to be more specific. Many times we say as pastors, we knew God's calling. And the people in the pews will say, how?
Sure. Well, that's always a great question, and I'm going to be really honest with you. I had been already wondering if God was going to take me away from the church and when that might happen.
Sure.
You, on the last segment, had asked about the people in the church, wondering at what point would Jeff leave. Well, after a few years, and with the growing success of the ministry, more and more people came, and they said, Jeff, are you going to leave the church and do this full time? And my answer continually to them was, I am not going to leave this calling until God makes it really clear, and I believe that this is exactly where God wants me to be. So when we went through some circumstances, and for me, I'm not going to be more specific about the circumstances other than to say God was stirring the nest
Okay.
and making things uncomfortable and some circumstances were just becoming clear that my time was finished.
Okay.
And for me, I went to a little place in Colorado Springs called Glen Eerie, a beautiful Christian mm-hmm. conference center, mm-hmm. and I was just praying. And when I was praying, there was a very clear sense.
Okay.
And I'm not much into subjective revelation because sure. God speaks to us through his word. But there was a weight of the calling and burden of Grace Bible Church that was really taken off my shoulder.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I just knew the time is finished. So I went home and I said, Nancy, I think that God just removed that sense of calling and the obligation that I have
right.
to this local church.
Sure.
And that's when she began smiling and she said, really? She said, I've been wondering the last several months if God is stirring us
okay.
away.
Okay.
And so it just becomes confirmation.
Right.
And more than anything, I've read the Bible, I've prayed, right. I've sought my friends, but the Lord makes it really, really clear where he's leading.
I did a study one time when I was going through the same kind of issue of what the Apostle Paul faced when he went from one ministry to another. What were the issues? How did the circumstances work out to bring Paul to the point of saying, okay, it's time for me to move? But many times, Pastor Jeff, for me, it was I'd wake up in the morning, it was on my mind.
Wow.
Throughout the course of the day, it's on my mind. Go to bed at night, it's on my mind.
Well, thank goodness we're not like the Apostle Paul, because usually it involves some sort of beating,
stoning,
chased out of town.
Right, right.
And you know what? When I went through some difficult circumstances, that gave me the comfort that says usually God uses some difficulty and
mm-hmm.
hardship
sure.
to direct
right.
us. The people in the early church would have never left Jerusalem had it not been for difficulty.
Oh, exactly.
And they never would have left Samaria had it not been for difficulty. So it's often that God uses difficult circumstances to just stir enough to where we're willing to go where he wants us to go.
What have you learned about dealing with difficult people?
Well, the first thing that I would say about dealing with difficult people is that they're always going to be difficult people.
Okay. Yeah.
And that, frankly, those are the people that God is using to mm-hmm. make us humble, number
okay.
one,
right.
and prayerful.
Mm-hmm.
And he teaches us that his grace is sufficient for us and his strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Right, right.
However, those difficult people cannot become something that discouraged me from obeying God.
They can't become our focus, can they?
No, they can't become our focus.
And I think so many times in my ministry, whenever they became my focus, I never was able to pastor and shepherd the rest of the flock because I was always trying to make these one or two individuals happy.
Well, Pastor Greg, I'm sure that you experience this too. You could have a congregation that's 95% thrilled with what God is doing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and there's just a few people. But I remember this again, that it's not only you as a pastor or me as a pastor or an individual who's listening today who has to deal with those difficult people. There's a pattern that God uses those people. You might even call them a thorn in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul described it in 2 Corinthians 12. He talked about the thorn in the flesh, and he said, this is a minister of Satan that's sent to buffet me. And then he described it as the care of the churches. And that care, the pressing burden of the churches, is exactly what God used to humble him,
mm-hmm.
to teach him to pray, and to remind him that God's grace is sufficient for us.
Exactly. We've also learned that no man is ever the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's Satan who's the enemy. Well, folks, we've come to the end of our time, but join us again in a couple of days, and we will continue our conversation with Pastor Jeff Anderson, president of the International Bible Conference.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.